Kingdom Living. We are in this series and it is life-changing. We just sang about a Jesus and the words coming out, hopefully you caught, Jesus, you change everything. Jesus changes everything, church. He changes our lives, he changes the world, and this series that we're in kicked off last week. I had the privilege of speaking at Dr. Graham's church, a prayer partner of mine, a friend of mine for many years. He's come here as a guest, and their 33rd anniversary was last weekend. And so it was amazing to be there and to see God radiating, God moving and shining in Brooklyn where I was at. But it was also so encouraging to look and see what God had done here. Dr. Smith kicked this series off last week, and he did a fabulous job. Did such a great job of really helping us to understand when we go to the Sermon on the Mount. That's where we are for the next couple of months, few weeks. And in there, Jesus delivers this life-changing message about a kingdom that is coming through him. A kingdom that, as you heard last week in the Beatitudes, looks very countercultural. It's truly a revolution. It's so different than what is going on in the world around them and around us today. And when we begin to hear that and understand it, we can see that God had so much more for us in the life of Jesus than sometimes we even realize. And so as we get into this today and look at it, there's things that are obvious and things that aren't as obvious. And it's funny when you think about the world around us, because we live in a world where some things should be obvious, but maybe they're not because we've had to put labels on things. Let me read to you just a few. On a hotel, they had provided on the shower cap box, it said fits one head. Right? Seems like that should be obvious, but I guess it wasn't. Sears had put on a hairdryer, do not use while sleeping. On a child's Superman costume, wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly. On children's cough medicine, do not drive or operate machinery. On nights all sleep aid, it says, warning, may cause drowsiness. On a peanut package, warning, contains nuts. On an American Airlines packet of nuts, instructions, open packet, eat nuts. I mean, there's sometimes things that just seem so stinking obvious, right? And what we're looking at today in the text, while last week the Beatitudes are kind of countercultural on what it means, it's not as obvious. Today's are super obvious what Jesus has to say to us. It's this idea that you and I as believers are a people that are supposed to live a life that is different than the world around us. That we're supposed to be salt and light, we're to do good works, and how that plays out is something that is supposed to be obvious, but maybe sometimes has been missed because of the pressures and the darkness around us. So as we get into this today, I'm really excited because the title of the message is Radiating Jesus. Can you say that with me? Radiating Jesus. And that actually came from a phrase that one of our board members a few weeks back had said, I just feel as I'm praying that God wants to radiate Jesus through Pathway. So we as a board have been praying over that and dwelling in it. And I'm just here to tell you, I believe Jesus is being radiated and he has even more that he wants to do in this season ahead. As we look at it today, what does the word radiate mean? If you look there, the definition, the first thing is in the Oxford Dictionary, it means to emit energy, especially light or heat in the form of rays or waves. So there's something being emitted, a light, a heat, a source of energy. And let me just tell you, you're radiating something every day. Now, it may be Jesus, but it might not be. Only you and him really can discern and maybe be honest about what it is that you're emitting. That could get really funny. Second service. Stay focused. So the second definition is to diverge or spread from or as if from a central point. And this is critical to understand, and I thought it was interesting that it was listed in the definition because Jesus is meant from the inside, from the center of who we are, is meant to inside out emit and radiate through us. It's also something that's supposed to be a part of the life of a church. that when a church comes together and gathers, that there's something then that God does in the center that then radiates out into the world around us. Can I get an amen? So let's take a look at how Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. This is given in a day and a time and in a context where they had political pressure, they had cultural pressure, they had many of the things that are coming against us today, they had them as well, maybe even more intense than, believe it or not, what we're experiencing today. And here's Jesus showing up, and he says this in Matthew 5:13. By the way, if you need a Bible, you don't own one, there's some in the chairs around you. You're welcome to take it. It's a gift from us. We also have the verses on the screen. Verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." If you're taking notes here, kingdom living leads to Christians radiating Jesus in our world. He says, and he'll go on, and we'll get to it in a minute, he'll say, you're also to be light. So you and I, our identity is to be salt and light in the world. That if we're not, it might as well be thrown out and discarded. So we need to look at, what does that mean? To actually have the center of who we are in alignment with Jesus, so we're acting as salt and light in our world. As you think about that, you know, I love the salt life. Anybody else? I mean, we have it made here. We in Florida, I mean, we got salt and sunshine, and it is an amazing place to live. And when you think about that, it was actually interesting in a commentary, I found that there was actually an ancient Roman official that said this. He said, there is nothing more useful than salt and sunshine. And I was like, my guy, he understands the salt life. Like, he gets it, right? And here's the thing, like, there is some value in salt. There's some value in light and sunshine. It has, you know, some healing properties and things that our bodies and even our souls, I think the Lord wants us to understand, need. But there's something far deeper at work here that Jesus is getting at. As we begin to lean into that, you know, I want to make sure you understand that a few months ago, I talked about the idea that many of us are salty right now, and it was in a negative context. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, some of us are so salty in life that we show up critically and negatively, and we show up in ways that actually have a chip on our shoulders, another way to say it. We don't want to be that kind of salty. We want to be the kind that Jesus is talking about in this passage. So as we look at it, let's unpack what are some of the things that salt does that Jesus was referring to. If you're taking notes, the first is salt preserves. It actually is a preservative. In an era where they did not have refrigeration, salt would have been used to help preserve, produce, meat, things that actually, because of the lack of refrigeration, it preserves. Salt preserves life. And for you and I, we have to understand, Jesus is saying, listen, when I begin to work in your life from the inside out, when you begin to radiate me, you are there to be those that help preserve life on earth, that you're to be a salt of the earth that helps preserve the way life was meant to be. And how many of you know that we are not seeing that in our world right now? That we see death and destruction and just the tearing down of life all around us. And yet he has a calling that is on his people to be those that would be salt and help preserve life. Some of you know a few months back we unpacked Jeremiah 29, and I want to just read you a few verses from that. These few verses in Jeremiah 29 verses 4 through 7 speak to God's people that are in exile, that are in oppression, that are under a regime that does not reflect life. And God says, in the middle of the mess, in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of Babylon, here's how you're to live. You're going to be those that preserve life. Verses 4 through 7 say this, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce." So he's saying, do life, preserve life. He goes on, "Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. So he's saying preserve life, multiply life. This is what you're called to do. Verse 7. But seek the welfare. The word there in the Hebrew is the word shalom. It's a word of healing and wholeness, of peace and prosperity. He says, seek the welfare of the city to where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. You see, the presence of the world and the darkness around us is meant to actually push us not away from God, not into isolation, but into God's presence and into dependence on Him. So that in the middle of everything we face, we are the agents of life and preservation. Not us, Jesus through us. Can I get an amen? Amen. But there's this life that he's saying you're to help preserve. Now, it doesn't just preserve, though. Another attribute of and function of salt is it creates thirst. Salt creates thirst. And some of you know this because you've been in settings where they kept giving you salty snacks so that you would, what? Drink, buy more beverages. I mean, salt creates thirst. Jesus interacted with a Samaritan woman at the well, and he talked about the inherent thirst that is within each of us. He said to her this in John 4, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. He was speaking of a well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Her response in that moment was, sir, give me some of this water. You see, the interaction with Jesus created within her an acknowledgement of the thirst that she had. You and I are to be the salt of the earth. What does that look like for you to be somebody who others see and want what you have inside of you? That they don't necessarily understand it, but they see it because when you're squeezed, when you're pressured, what comes out of you is radiating Jesus, and they look at you and go, I've been drinking of the world's well. I don't know what you're drinking, spiritually speaking. And whatever it is, I need that and I want that. Are you tracking with me? You see, we're to be a people that create a thirst because of how we're living and how close we are to Jesus. When's the last time somebody saw something in your life that was different enough that it created thirst? And take away the pressure from that question for a moment. Because again, if you get close to Jesus, that's what's going to come out. That's what's going to create the moment around you. So it preserves life. It creates thirst. Thirdly, it heals. Salt heals. It's actually in Ezekiel 16, verse 4, that we see how they practice this practically in the Old Testament. It says, and as for your birth, on the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt. They would rub the child with salt after bathing, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. So then they would wrap the child. And the thought was that the salt would help heal. And salt is a healer and an agent of healing. So you and I are told by Jesus to be the salt of the earth, to preserve life, to create thirst, and to also be agents of healing. How's that going, right? I mean, you and I know we live in a very, what does it look like to be salt and light in an age of outrage? I mean, have you noticed there's a lot of outrage around us right now? There's a lot of things warring against the people of God, warring against your identity and mine. And it's in the middle of all that, that we're to actually be those that show up like Jesus did. Show up in a way that says, this is the truth, this is the grace of God, but there's also no compromising what we know to be true. And so in the face of all these things, we will be agents of healing by bringing people to Jesus, by being the salt he's asked us to be. It's funny how this stuff can play out. I'm thinking of this message and all of this yesterday. And this wasn't in my notes. I shared it first service. I'm going to share it again. So I ended up playing pickleball in our neighborhood with a friend yesterday. And we got there early enough that we didn't know that there was a group that plays in our neighborhood at a particular time every Saturday, right? And so as an agent of healing, I've got that in the back of my mind, but when they started to show up and they wanted to take my court, y'all, I'm human. I live there. I pay the same HOA dues you do. So I might have started to get a little divisive. You ever been there? I might have said in that moment, you know, hey, is there a reservation process? Because I'm pretty sure I'm a resident here and I pay this, you know, I might even said I pay the same dues you pay. And so I didn't understand that, you know, there's some etiquette to all that. And so, you know, we lean into it. Thankfully, my friend with me is much wiser and you know, they knew the etiquette. And so we figured it out. And a few minutes after this occurs, we keep playing. And, you know, somebody connected to our church and school walks in and, you know, is there now. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm like really getting, you know, exposed. And I'm thinking like this in this moment, is this being lived out? Because all of us face these moments, right? And I'll tell you, it worked out well. Not in my pickleball game. I got beat all three games. He wiped me all over the court. You know, he's sitting in this service, so I got to, I lost. But here's what the win was. By the end, we were able to reconnect with that same individual. And they actually invited me to come back and play more often. Because we started to converse a little bit. And I think where there could have been tension and division, God began to bring some healing in the middle of it. We were both a little salty, but the real salt showed up. Huh, that'll preach. How are you doing? Are you an agent of healing or division right now? Where are the areas maybe in your family or your extended family, in your home, in your neighborhood, in our church, in maybe your child's school or your relationship with your grandparents, maybe in the public's parking lot? Where are the places where God's saying, listen, you're to be my salt and an agent of healing? I got some Snickers on that public's parking lot. So not only does it heal, but lastly, salt stays salty. You know, Jesus was very clear that if we're not salty, then he isn't able to use us. It says he might as well be discarded. And we know salt does stay salty, but part of why we come together, part of why we gather, part of why life groups and marriage workshops and men's groups and women's groups and services are so important is because in a world that's salty in the wrong way, we come together as salt and you realize you're not alone. That there's others living this way, others that are attempting, and we can encourage each other and spur each other on, as scripture says, to love and good deeds. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we want to radiate Jesus. And he goes on and talks about in verse 14 and 15 what it looks like, not just as salt, but as light. Let's read it. It says, you are light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And so as we look at this idea of light and radiating Jesus' light, you know, light shines if you're taking notes. And you're like, okay, yeah, it does. It shines. It's meant to shine. It's meant to make a difference. I don't know a lot about astronomy, so I'll give you the little bit I know. Stars are always emitting light. They're always radiating light. Whether we see it or not, that's their inherent, until they burn out, that's what they're doing. They're giving light. The moon is always reflecting the light of the sun, which is interesting because that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to be reflecting the light of the sun, of Jesus. And so here's the challenge is if we're being who we are, then light sometimes has to go out into darkness to be seen. You see, if you had a flashlight in here right now, it would be not as powerful, not as able to be seen because we already have light. So when we come together as salt and light, we're then asked by the Lord to go out into places and shine his light. And sometimes that will be in areas that are dark. That the Lord says, I want you to be my light. I want you to go speak truth and grace. I want you to love. I want you to show them that there's hope. It's interesting because it says that light cannot be hidden. That in fact, we're not to hide the light. That light is not to be hidden, it's actually to be shined and shared. And it was in that context that sometimes we can miss things that are happening in the Bible. You see, what Jesus was saying when he said that light cannot be hidden was being said in a moment in time on a mountain, on a hillside, where nearby there was a sectarian group of people. A group of people that had literally near the Dead Sea holed themselves up in caves, separated themselves from the rest of the world in order to live righteous and for God. Now, they weren't following Yahweh. They weren't following Jesus. And so as Jesus is sharing this with us, can you picture it? Like, don't you love that he doesn't hold back? Like, he's there. They all know up in the caves are these, you know, religious folks that are hiding out. And Jesus is saying, no, if you really have the light, you aren't going to hide. You aren't going to separate. You're going to get filled up. And you're also going to be around other people that need me and shine for me. So as I think about this, I just think how many of us, that's the word we need to hear today. That actually, if you're close to Jesus and radiating him, he wants you to be salt and light. He wants you to shine in this world. And it is increasingly getting dark right now. And Jesus says, you're my chosen people. 1 Peter 2, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're the city on the hill, not a nation, but the global church is Jesus's chosen vehicle to shine the light in this world. It's actually in Isaiah 42 and in Isaiah 49 that God prophesied over the nation of Israel that they would be a light. It's later in the New Testament that's extended now to Jews and Gentiles, to the church. So we're not the only light. There's other churches in Vero. There's other churches that are shining his light. And that's the beauty of it, is that we're to shine his light in the places, even in our own community, that we might be tempted to back away from. Now, what we have to understand is if it's causing us to turn down the light because of its influence on us, that isn't Jesus. Jesus walked into every environment and he changed it. He was the influencer. Does that make sense? When he shows up, light shows up. And so we have to use wisdom and discernment, but we also need to, some of us, come out of the cave, come out of hiding and shine the light that Jesus has put in you. Because there are people that are going to listen to you and learn about Jesus before they're ever going to listen to somebody like me. So salt and light. Light shines and light cannot be hidden. As you think about that, there's actually a professor of mine in seminary and grad school, Glenn Stassen. He did a lot of work on the kingdom and on the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what he says. He says, as the light of the world, we invite people into a relationship with Christ and into the joyful way of life of covenant community. We invite and never coerce anyone who is interested to come and join our city on a hill in which God's shalom, there's that word again, is beginning to be experienced. So who in your life do you need to maybe come out of hiding with? Come out of the cave and say, hey, I've known you for years. I've known you for decades. I'm so sorry I haven't told you about the thing that matters most to me in life. Maybe you've been afraid of what others are, right? Cancel culture. Maybe you're afraid that you'll get canceled by them, but here's what I want you to hear. How do you not share the thing that matters most to you? The very essence of who you are. Because if you've come into a relationship with Jesus and you're a Christ follower, that's a new identity. They don't even really know you yet if you haven't come out of hiding and shined that light. So our identity is based on Jesus, and we invite others to experience the same Jesus. And, you know, listen, you may not have all the answers. Most of us don't. So it's really okay to say, hey, here's what Jesus has meant to me. Here's what Jesus has done for me. Here's how he's transformed my life. And when they ask a question you don't know the answer to, say, I don't know. I'll go find somebody that does, and then you can, you know, ask Pastor Randy. So salt and light, and then he goes on in verse 16. Here's what he says. He says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So you and I are called to be salt and light and to do good works that give God glory. As you think about what that means, I want to just unpack that a little bit for us, because these good works are things that should give God the glory if you're taking notes. It's really easy to do good works that bring attention to us, that bring attention even to our church, if this is your home church. And what I want to tell you is while we may get recognition, while we may get admiration for certain things that we do, at the end of the day, if all the glory is on you or even on the church and not Jesus, we've missed the point. It isn't about the glory of Pathway Church or any church for that matter. It's about the glory of Jesus. Him being honored and glorified in and through his church. It's funny, the time and age we live in, isn't it? I heard yet last week that there's actually some studies out right now that have identified this issue of selfie elbow as an actual medical condition. Did you know this? That we've actually got to the point where we've made everything about us to the point that people literally, and maybe you've seen this as well, not just selfie elbow, but people who, to get the selfie they wanted, dangerously risked their life, and some have even fallen and lost their life to get that selfie they wanted. Why do I say all this? Because the culture around us is feeding you and I that it's all about us. And Jesus is saying, no, I have a life that is so much better, that will free you of yourself, that will free you to live why I put you on earth. And when you begin to walk in that adventure, it changes everything and you begin to radiate him in ways that you can't do on your own. So not only should we give God the glory, but secondly, we need to realize these are works that he's prepared in advance. It takes the pressure off when you begin to look at life and realize that Jesus has called you to be salt and light and to do good works, and he's already prepared them. You just need to walk into them. This is why Ephesians 2:10, as many of you know, is one of my favorite scriptures. Here's what it says. For we are his workmanship. Another translation says his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. He's created us and shaped us for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so if you're not walking in the good works, and please be clear, we don't do good works to get to heaven. You're going to see that in a minute. We do good works because we want others to go where we're going, because we already know where we're going. And because of what Jesus has done, we can't help but share him with the world around us. So part of where the adventure with Jesus comes is when you really begin radiating him and being salt, being light, being, you know, the person he's created you to be and to do those good works. And as you think about that, I mean, that right there is a spot at which it would be easy to say, okay, we're gonna finish right here. We're gonna finish in this moment that says this is what God wants for us. I love how Dr. Tony Evans says this actually about this passage. He says, I'm looking for a generation of followers who are so saturated in my thinking, my worldview, and my orientation that when integrated into the culture in which they are situated, the culture will have to live with the influence of Jesus Christ who permeates the culture. I love that, don't you? In a culture that's trying to change us, he's saying, listen, if you really understand what Jesus has done and who he is, he's going to use you and I under his influence to begin influencing others. And that's what our world needs. Now, again, I could get us really fired up and excited right now, and we could run out, and the chances are you'd probably be in the situation where by Tuesday you're burned out, or maybe Thursday. I'll give you more credit than that. You see, if we hear these things and we think that it's in our strength or it's in our abilities, we're missing what Jesus said next, which I conclude with this, with salt and light and good works, because it's absolutely vital. I want to read to you the next four verses to finish from Matthew 5. Here's what Jesus said in 17 through 20. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." If you're taking notes here, radiating Jesus is only possible when we are under his influence, when we're under the influence and lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, that section makes it clear that we don't relax the requirements, instead we let them reveal Jesus. That we don't want to be a people that are saying, "Hey, you know, there's parts of this that I don't agree with, so I'm going to ignore those." Have you ever met somebody that is, you, and maybe it's even in your own life, where you like justify portions of how of scripture or ignore it because of how you want to live, like you don't want to adjust things? Ooh, it got quiet. I mean, this is a thing, right? And what Jesus is saying here is, listen, there is not a iota, which was the smallest letter in the alphabet at that time, or a dot that isn't going to be fulfilled. None of it is going to be changed. All of it's going to be fulfilled through Jesus. He said the law and the prophets. It was actually in the law, about 613 laws from Moses were given to the people. There was actually a rabbi, it was interesting, found this as I was researching, that said this about the laws at that time. He said that 613 commandments were revealed to Moses at Sinai, 365 prohibitions, equal in number to solar days of the year, 240 being commands corresponding in number to the parts of the human body. What is he trying to do? He's trying to figure out a way to remember the law and frame it. They actually had even gone further and said, there's some of the law that's more weighty than others. And they were trying to determine which parts of the law they had to do and which parts weren't as weighty. So here's again, Jesus showing up and saying, listen, yeah, some of it's weightier than others, but you got to fulfill it all. You actually, if you don't, if it doesn't exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and Sadducees, then you're falling short of my standard. Because here's what we have to be reminded of in a day and age that doesn't like to hear that maybe we've made a mistake, maybe we're wrong. We're sinners in need of a Savior. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And part of the standard of the law and the prophets and even looking to the Word of God is to see where we fall short, but where Jesus lifts us up. To see where we actually need Jesus revealed. You see, all of this is to reveal Jesus, to reveal that you can't be salt without Jesus. You can't be light without Jesus. If you're taking notes, Jesus' invitation changes us from the inside out. So when we don't relax the requirements, when we begin to see that none of us can live up to this without Jesus, we begin to enter in, I believe, to a real relationship with Jesus, where he says, listen, I've done what you can't do. I've fulfilled it. And if you'll walk close to me, I'm going to radiate through your life in ways that you didn't even know possible. And I'm going to do it from the inside out. But in order for that to begin to take place, sometimes we have to get honest with the Lord. Because there's a temptation to put on image management. There's a temptation to put out a self that isn't really what's going on inside of here. Anybody? It was actually Jesus again in Matthew 23 that said this about the Pharisees, those that looked, and by the way, they had moved from 613 laws from Moses to, from what we can tell, almost 6,000 new laws and variations and interpretations by the time Jesus arrived. I mean, that is unbelievable. And with all of those appearances, listen to what Jesus says to them. It says in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Don't you just wish Jesus would make it plain? I mean, he could not be more plain, right? I mean, he's calling out their hypocrisy, and I would say that for you and I, if we don't get honest about what's going on inside, we can't be the salt, the light, and the people he is asking us to be. And so part of what he's getting at is, listen, you need me. You need me. You need to be under my influence, because under my influence, you will find life and you'll be who I've called you to be. 2 Corinthians 5 is the last scripture I want to share with you to just show you how this plays out. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh." And yes, that applies to your Facebook and Instagram accounts. Woo, right? "We regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." This is the good news of Jesus. This is the invitation for those that have never known Jesus. You've been around church. You've been around religion. Maybe it's your first Sunday online or in person that you've ever heard the gospel. You just heard it. That Jesus came to fulfill what you and I could not do. That he lived a sinless life. That he went to the cross. That he died that death for us and rose 3 days later, holy and blameless, with resurrection power and life to impart to you and I life as it was meant to be. Scripture says if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, you will be saved. So when we confess in Jesus, he begins a new work, fills us with the Holy Spirit. We're now, the old is gone, the new has come. We're a new creation in Christ. And that new creation is then, if we're a follower of Jesus, what should be radiating out of us. Y'all, we can't contain Jesus. Did you know that? We can't contain him. And so there's this moment that we have to look at and ask ourselves a couple of questions. The first next step question is this: have you received Jesus? And are you living under his influence? Have you actually received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And realize that you can keep showing up at church, you can keep trying to be a good person, but eventually we all get to the end of ourselves, and we realize we fall short, and he's the answer. Maybe today's that day for somebody that the Lord's tugging on your heart, and you're realizing you just need to let go and come to Jesus. He's here for you today. Maybe for you, you've done and received Jesus, but you're not living under his influence. Maybe you realize there's parts of your life that you haven't really given over to him, that you're not as salty in the right ways as you should be, and that the light isn't shining in the ways that it needs to be. So what does it look like for you to come under his influence today? Secondly, will you step forward today to be prayed for so that you can step out and radiate Jesus this week? As I've been praying over this time, we're going to go into a song as we often do to respond. But as I've been praying, what I've been picturing and envisioning, and we saw even in first service, was there's all this space up here, right? And I think there's moments where God's saying, okay, it's time to put your faith in action. It's time to say, okay, I need to come up out of my seat. I need to move my feet. And I need to draw close to Jesus. I don't know if it's a first-time decision. I don't know if it's the 100th time if you've done this. But what I want to tell you is I believe that we need to fill the front this morning with people that are just saying, it's time. It's time, Jesus. I'm yours. I'm ready to let go. I'm ready to release it. I'm ready to allow you to radiate, to have your way. We'll have leaders up here, myself included, would be happy to pray with you. But maybe you just need to get out of your seat and up here and closer to what God's doing. He'll meet you right in your seat. Don't get me wrong. But I think he also is saying, not just to come out of the cave, but to come out in a way that says, God, whatever you want, whatever you have, I want to be salt. I want to be light. I want to do the good works that you've planned for my life. I want to live under your influence. So church, I'm done, but he's not done. If you'll stand right where you're at, if you're able, I'm going to just pray over us. Pray us into this time of responding. And then we're just going to let go and let God move. Amen? So if you're feeling that right now, run up front. You don't have to walk. You can dance. You can spin. Whatever you need to do to get up here. But just know that I believe God wants to do something new in each of us that we can really radiate for his glory. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for who you are. Jesus, I thank you that all of the law and the prophets are fulfilled in you, that you reveal our need for you, that you give us an invitation to a new identity, to be a new creation. Thank you for the purpose that you have for each life that is present today, that you want to use them as salt and light to do good works that bring you glory. And right now in this moment, we confess that we are sometimes under the influence of things other than you. So right now, we just ask, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to do what you need to do, that we could be under your influence and we could radiate Jesus to the world around us. Bless this time and be poured out. May you get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.